You ready?
Yeah, I just had the memory of something that I just absolutely needed to look up right now or else I might die.
Okay.
I need an image, though. Have you ever heard of Mother Goose Rocks? Oh, my God, that's it. Okay, that's the CD I had. I can get it on eBay. Look at it. It's so good.
What are we talking about? How did we get here?
Well, because I was singing Peter Peter Pumpkin Eater, and they have a version on Mother Goose Rocks, Volume 2.
Oh, I didn't realize that we were doing something so important. How foolish of me.
I'm so sorry. This is very important to me. Hey, you know what? Did we want another Dr. Looney's Remedy to happen?
You feel better.
Stop. Stop. There's no way.
Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie. And I have a confession to make.
What's that, Cassie?
Somebody called me a nerd today, so because I told them about our podcast. The worst part about this person is that she's made in the same factory that I came from.
So she meant this is a term of endearment, but inside you went, ugh.
I went, oh no, I've confessed. I have a Doctor Who podcast. And now the cool new girl thinks that I'm a dork. No! That being said, I am absolutely wearing my Doctor Who outfit to FanFest.
Nice. And today we are watching the 2011 Christmas special, The Doctor, The Widow, and The Wardrobe.
Hooray!
Yes, this is our second 11th Doctor Christmas special. We had quite a few up until now, but I think last year's was, or last season's rather, was probably your favorite so far, and certainly mine. So this has some big shoes to fill.
Well, because here's the thing. I imagine that this is going to be a version of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, if I had to take a wild fucking guess.
Yeah, it does. The title definitely seems to lean into that, even if it's missing the important Oxford comma.
Oh my God, it totally is.
Right? This episode's fired already, before you even started watching it. It's already canned.
I hate
canned.
It. 9-10.
Use your grammar, Doctor Who.
Oh my God.
It's the English language. You invented it. Oxford's in England.
I have such a soft spot for my Oxford comma. I fucking love the Oxford comma. And the fact that this isn't here either means somebody forgot it or it's like very important.
Suddenly, just like halfway through the podcast, we take a hard left turn and become a grammar podcast from here on out. Today's episode will be on about the silent T in the word often.
Now, that's a soapbox you like to get up on. I couldn't care less about the silent T in the word often.
So what might you be expecting from The Doctor, The Widow, and The Wardrobe? Beyond just it being a Narnia pastiche, I suppose.
Picture this. Italy, 1947. There's one person that listened to this podcast who I know will get the joke. Hi, Dave. So we're going to have the doctor.
Okay.
And he's going to be talking to a widow.
All right. Following you so far.
Maybe a spider. Who knows?
A black widow.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Who's living inside of a closet.
So a gay Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. And the doctor. What do you want? Well, because I'm also thinking it would be very, well, I don't know. I was going to say it would be strange for them to take on something as big as The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Because I don't know if the Lewis estate would be super into that.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I know C.S. Lewis himself was very religious.
Yeah.
So I don't know how he'd feel about a space alien time travel show.
Because I think this came out well after he died, right?
I would have to imagine so. The C.S. Lewis specifically died in November 1963. So he would have only just been He would have died right after the show started.
Who am I thinking, though, that was like a very prolific author who died like not too long ago?
I know all of our opinions of J.K. Rowling died.
Well, I'm not talking about opinion. When did Tolkien die?
Oh, that would have been a while ago, too. He and C.S. Lewis were contemporaries.
I know. That's why I'm thinking. Oh, you know what it is?
What's that?
I'm getting it all confused.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking of Christopher Lee.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the only people that knew Tolkien.
Oh, okay, yes. Your brain did some lily padding. I get that.
Yeah. Sorry, I had an ADHD moment. I'm better now, though.
I do think Narnia is a smart way to find something that feels Christmassy, especially after last year's Christmas special was like maximum Christmas.
Well, especially because there is that association with, not because this is what year is it?
This was 2011 when this
came out. So this was well after the first Narnia movie came out.
Yeah, I think this would have been right around the time maybe Prince Caspian was coming out.
Because even before, like, it started getting played during Christmas time, because they do have the scene with St. Nick where he gives each of the kids a gift,
mm-hmm.
and it is Christmassy, and it could perhaps be because it's a story of hope and there is snow, and those two things are inherently Christmassy, you know, hope and snow.
Yeah.
So I like this approach. I am looking forward to see how the Doctor manages to speak to a Black Widow spider inside of a closet.
And wind up in Narnia. Well, let's dig into what happens a little bit more with the Cassie Professi today. I was quite excited for some of these questions, for one of these questions I came up with. And I will start with that one. In this episode, the Doctor decorates a bedroom. And one feature of this bedroom that the Doctor adds is a feature I've personally heard you say you want in a bedroom many times.
No.
Can you guess what that feature is, Cassie?
No, you were correct. Zach had his own little Zachy Perfacky where he told me about the question that he wrote. And he said that I was going to do the exact reaction I had, which is, oh, geez, oh, no.
And I feel like me telling you that made you want to be like, I'm not going to do it.
Zach, I fully forgot. I fully forgot until it happened.
Flashback to you. So, Cassie, what feature do you think the Doctor added to a bedroom that I've heard you say you would like in a bedroom many times?
Oh, man. So it's not a slide. Couldn't be monkey bar. I want a whole play structure in my bedroom. No reason. I just think it'd be fun.
A middle school jungle gym. Just
I would absolutely like not even. This isn't even a bit. I fully, when I was a kid, I thought Trading Spaces, Boys versus Girls was like the coolest thing. I wanted somebody to trade with me so bad because I wanted a jungle themed bedroom. So, just to wake up and immediately be like, oh, hell yeah, monkey bars. Let me do a little flip while I'm getting out of bed.
See, I picked this question because I knew this was a multiple choice answer. So I can't even say it. You'd be like, oh, it's this thing. Definitely. Like, you've told me at least four different bedroom setups that you've wanted in your life.
Mate. Okay, conversation pit, fireplace. I actually don't know if we've ever had a fireplace conversation, so it probably isn't fireplace.
This is a reminder, these are installed by the 11th Doctor, so keep that in mind as you think about what.
I know that I have spoken to you very fondly about the idea of a secret bookcase.
Oh, secret passage?
Secret bookcase packet.
Like a secret passage. Door.
Thank you. Yes, something like that.
Okay.
So it would not surprise me if the Doctor also put in like a secret squirrel, type of like bookcase, a hidden door, like a sliding mirror, something like that. Cause mm-hmm. I know I have spoken about that. Otherwise, a recessed bathtub, I don't think would be in there.
This is specifically in a bedroom. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, I know. There was, it's beautiful. It's a house from the 70s. And there's like, it's like a glass wall. And then behind the glass wall is windows.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, there's like a 4-foot space where there's just 2 steps that lead into a tub. It's a hole in the ground, basically. Unsafe. Absolutely unsafe.
Yeah, it sounds like a slipping hazard waiting to happen.
Oh, my God. Well, that's why it was like by itself, like on the you have to want to get to it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that, though. Now I'm just talking about all the things that I know of that I've thought in the recent past would be cool to have. A circular bed is another one, because I know I've said that. Mm-hmm. So secret passage or circle bed.
I feel bad because I want to like yes and this conversation, but I don't want to accidentally like slip what the thought is, or alternatively tell you, like, deliberately misdirect you. So I'm trying not to like yes and like, and you told me this thing.
Interesting. You've made that comment after I said circle bed. How bizarre.
How bizarre. How bizarre.
How unique.
La, 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 la.
Circle bed, secret passage, hammock. I mean, that's something, though, that I think everybody needs a hammock somewhere in their house. Just to be swaddled, just to go up inside of it and pretend to be but a little caterpillar about to take a nap and blossom into a butterfly.
You could be a banana in a fruit basket.
Have I said it?
I'm not going to tell you that. I feel like things you've told me you want in a bedroom is a limited enough category without me.
Yes, but I'm also a whimsical being, Zach, so I've said a lot of stuff.
You are a changeling child. You've been whisked away by the fae into the forest and replaced.
Yeah. It's like, I need you to remember, I'm kind of strange. So I want a lot of things. A beachside pool entrance into my bedroom is another one that I think would be really cool. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine just having
the ocean?
Just a pool. Like, just wake up and, oh, there's my pool. Just yoink. But then all of the number of frogs, that would just be like, hell yeah.
Frogs, your least favorite animal
inside of your house. I'm house sitting, and one of the things that she said was a perk is that at night you can hear all the frogs, and I went, uh-oh. Ah, geez, man, I don't know if I like that.
No, dude.
Okay, I'm going with secret passage.
Secret
then.
Passageway.
Yeah, I'm as I've been ha-haing over here, I'm genuinely trying to think of everything I've said in the past.
Okay.
As a cool thing in a bedroom.
And now that you've gotten, I think, to the end
or
of
like
your
walk-in closet, but like that feels,
it would feel weird for the 11th Doctor to make, to be like, look at the walk-in closet I made for you.
Yeah, I could definitely see him going secret passage and being all like silly,
like pointing with both hands to the like the hole that he made in the hallway.
Yeah, like behind a painting or something.
Since you are at the end of your list, I will confirm for you. Yes, you did say it. So secret passage.
Okay,
could be it.
Either secret passage or circle bed. I'm going with secret passage.
All right, secret passage it is then. All right, and then for the second part of your Cassie Professy today, as you have surmised, this episode is loosely inspired by The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Whoa!
And much like that story, this story also features a queen. But instead of ice and snow, she is a queen of a different part of nature.
Spider webs.
You think she's a spider queen?
No, I'm just going off of my widow joke earlier.
What part of nature do you think she might be the queen
Although,
of?
Now that you say part of nature and she is widow and it, you've confirmed nature, I might take that back and say spiders.
Okay. I mean, it would be the first time the Doctor's fought a giant spider.
I know. Can you give me anything else other than
so I'm talking
kind
like a
of
fun,
nature?
Like a fundamental element.
You are talking about fundamental element.
Yeah, so we're talking like...
So not spiders and webs.
Not animals, but I would say like, you know, your basic bending, fire, earth... air, water.
Gotcha.
We could also include like plants or
metal
or light or blood. Darkness. I guess blood, metals.
Hey, if
lightning.
There's iron in your blood, technically, couldn't Toph also have been a bloodbender?
I believe probably, but I think that would require Toph to put her hands on you because she could only bend metal she could feel.
Fair.
And I guess if she's been, and I guess if Toph is putting her hands on you and she's going to bend you, it will just be into a suplex.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not ice and snow. Well, because I already said spiders, and we've very quickly outruled that one.
Yeah, I didn't want you to feel like, especially if it was like a different animal, I felt that, like that would have been cheap. So I want to make clear, there's not an animal of any kind. It is
is an element.
Yes.
So my options are basically fire, wind, or earth.
Fire, wind, earth, like I said, plants, light, dark, lightning, weather.
Can you say weather again?
Weather.
Okay, thank you. You know what? One more time. I don't think the mic really caught
weather.
Up. Okay. Now you're starting to sound like Bartok saying weather.
Channel your inner Stephen Moffat.
Trying. Well, because that's also the thing is like,
what would I be don't an appropriate go... Christmas queen?
Well, because like, that's the thing is that I really try not to go into these episodes with predispositions towards anything.
Fair.
So I truly don't know. Christmas is the time of Christmas
humbug.
Can I give you $5? Will you give me another hint?
I mean, yeah, sure, I'll take $5 and I'll give you another hint. I could be bribed. I'm not above that.
Okay.
It is related to, I'll say, a Yule log.
Okay, so
because that narrows it down without being too specific.
Yeah, because I've been juggling between like nature and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going based off of opposites, so that way it's like, oh, she's not the queen of ice and snow. She's the queen of fire. I'm going to go with foyer.
Foyer?
Yeah.
All right. So we will find out together.
Like the heat miser.
Okay. That makes sense. We will find out together if the doctor installs a secret passage in a bedroom and if they go up against a really hot queen as we watch the lion, the widow, the lion, as we watch the doctor, the widow, and the wardrobe.
Right here on Disney Channel. Thanks.
Today's episode of Who Is My Doctor has no sponsor. Instead, since this episode is based on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it inspired me to try some Turkish delight and see if it's really worth sacrificing your entire family for. Oh, God. That was awful. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy.
Hey, Zach, what you eating?
Oh, just some candy. Do you want some?
Boy, would I! This is so yummy.
What?
I think right now it's just about sacrifice Zach to a witch time, don't you? Be right back. Or not. We'll see.
What? That doesn't make any sense. She liked it? And we are back from the Doctor, the Widow, and the Wardrobe.
Ho, 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 and all that stuff.
Merry, happy.
Happy crying.
Happy World War II.
Ah,
so you think geez. This whole episode could have been avoided if they actually killed Hitler instead of just leaving him in a closet?
I know.
Instead, he's somewhere trapped in a cupboard.
Hey. Doctor did say there was a mysterious cupboard in the room, which, speaking of which, could have very easily have been secret passage.
But we never see it be a secret passage. In fact, the only secret passage we see is definitively not in the bedroom. It's under the Christmas tree.
I'll give you this one because I did specifically say hammock.
Yeah, you did.
If I hadn't, I would argue more tooth and nail, but I did say hammock.
You did say hammock. You also said you also said jungle theme, and you said there was a jungle corner.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like, that was not one I had even counted on.
I'm conceding, Zach. I am taking the L willingly.
Yes, and the
is a democracy manifest.
And then the queen of this one was the wooden queen, not the fire queen.
I feel like I would have gotten a point if I said forest to spirit of the forest.
Yeah, I would have given you forest if that was the case. Especially because they definitely are. Yep. They are definitively spirits of the forest. But beyond the privacy points, what'd you think, Cassie?
I didn't like it.
Really?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
That's interesting.
I liked how it rounded out. Okay. I liked that it was a story of a family that clearly loves each other very much. Mm-hmm. And a father who was lost at war.
Mm-hmm.
And jumping all the way to the end, I kind of was okay with how the story panned out,
mm-hmm,
because the ending was awfully cute,
mm-hmm,
and not the ending of what I loudly announced when the mother is telling her two children that daddy's, there were no stars out and it was awfully cloudy, so we couldn't, had nothing to fly by.
Mm-hmm.
And then the doctor leaves and comes back in, and I go, oh, he's right outside. But I liked the ending specifically with Madge telling the doctor that nobody deserves to be alone on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Not him, nor the friends that think he's dead.
Yeah.
I liked that because it was like, it felt very much as a, like, oh, this is such a crispy actor moment for both Matt Smith. And then I wrote her name down this time because I really, really liked her.
Mm-hmm.
Claire Skinner.
Yeah. They tend to find really good companions to go along for.
I really liked her.
Yeah.
Because she did pin me at first as somebody, like, very meek.
Mm-hmm.
And especially doesn't help that her voice is a higher pitch.
Yeah.
And she's small and tiny blonde woman with short curly hair.
If
and
a mouse became a person.
Not even a mouse. She's like a chipmunk. because she's kind of a bully in the same way that a chipmunk is. So, like, but, you know, and just having her basically take, it's kind of like when you put a chihuahua in, like, the big dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Big dog part of a dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Whew.
But she's got a very expressive face.
Oh, it's something that I really admire, and something that when I do get the opportunity, I do myself,
mm-hmm,
which is eye acting.
It wasn't even just like the eye acting. She's good at controlling muscles. I forget her in the face
around,
sometimes.
It's like eyes and also like her cheeks.
Yeah. Like there's a part in it where when she first draws a gun on the three, I guess we'll call them forest rangers.
Yeah, what the fuck? Okay, that was one of my gripes with this episode. Who the fuck were they?
Oh, they were there to make sure nobody was in the forest before they acid rained over it.
They weren't the one acid raining over it, though. You had the one woman that was like, yeah, feminism. I respect this woman. Fast forward to them piecing out and just saying, you better go. Zoop.
Yeah, I believe they work for the company that is acid
raining. Why were there three? There literally could have just been two. Two or one.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was just they had. So those three actors are relatively famous comedians in the UK.
Okay.
So they were getting a cameo, basically. I know the one in the middle, I think, is the most famous across the pond. He's a man by the name of Bill Bailey. You probably recognize him more if you saw his hair, because he has some crazy hair, but they put him in a helmet, so you couldn't quite tell.
Like, here's my beef. Here's my beef with the story,
mm-hmm,
is that it lost me the second that they went through the portal gift box, particularly because the doctor refers to his TARDIS as his wardrobe,
mm-hmm,
which I was like, that's kind of cheeky and clever.
Mm-hmm.
What if something happens with the TARDIS and when they walk through the TARDIS, there's some timey-wimey bullshit and that's what sends them to quote unquote Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a kind of a fun, like, conceit. But that did not happen. It was a gift.
Yeah, a gift to go to a forest where there are naturally occurring Christmas trees.
That sucks. That sucks so much. And then the trees lay eggs. Okay.
In a modicum of fairness to the doctor, he didn't seem to know that they were eggs, nor that there was going to be acid rain. Although,
okay, doctor, all-knowing person in the galaxy, you don't know that the trees lay eggs and that this place rains acid? What the fuck have you been doing?
I will say that is probably the weakest part of the story is that...
Oh my god, the whole story is the weakest part of the story. The like, cute little, we're gonna make this, like, a really sweet family moment. Oh my god, it's your family, it's your found family, this is just a heartwarming story. But then here's all of this, like, because it starts so strong. It starts in the middle of the action, mm-hmm. of the doctor running through a spaceship, reaching fervently at a spacesuit to save his own life. And that is the thing that makes him meet Madge, is her turned around spaceman. Ah, yum, 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 yum. Love that. What a silly idea. Only in a show like this could such a silly idea work. But now you're going to have the bug-eyed child walk through the portal, get lost, find a stone. He's nothing but tree. Find a wood man that's sitting just as casually as can be at the foot of his... What did we call it? The Epcot Tower?
Spaceship Earth, yeah.
Yeah, Spaceship Epcot, dumb. I will say, though, that the wooden tree people did look very cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were like more suits like, and
the,
puppets.
I think the issue is that the entire, like, what's the conflict in the story is entirely the doctor's fault. Like, all the doctor had to do was just remember that kids open their Christmas presents early. And then... That would have solved all the problems.
Yeah, the doctor literally speaks baby. You'd think he'd understand kid. You can't tell me that what was it, the Thunder God?
Stormageddon.
Yeah, you couldn't tell me that Stormageddon wasn't like, oh, hey, doctor, just a heads up. If you meet any kids in the future, we're going to open our Christmas presents early.
Gaga, goo goo gaga.
And just a little heads up. Yeah. That's my biggest issue with, because everything else I was fine with.
Mm-hmm.
I literally started to fall asleep in the center because I went, this part of the story is dumb. That was me slapping the stool for emphasis. I didn't know if it registered mm-hmm. and came up through the.
Yeah, there's a definitely so, like that whole beat. I mean, I understand that they do let it pay off.
I will say second act, kind of dumb. First act, awesome. So here's my thing. I'm circling around. We're lily padding right now. There is a book by Stephen King called Fairy Tale. I think you remember when I was reading it.
Mm-hmm.
First act of the book, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful story. Rich storytelling. Second act, dumb as fucking balls. Bad time. Third act, though, wraps all of that shit up so good. Yum, 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 yum. You just can't wait to see how it all pans out. And I felt the same way about this, where the first, it was, I'm a middle-aged dad. I'm such a sucker for a World War II story.
You're a boomer boy?
I'm a boomer boy.
I'm a boomer boy. I'm here to listen to World War II documentaries and have opinions on racism.
Yeah, that's me. Ever since I was a child, my favorite book growing up was The Book Thief. That should tell you something. And The Diary of Anne Frank, but I felt bad reading another girl's diary, so I didn't ever finish it.
Felt bad reading her secrets.
This is absolutely true. This is not a bit whatsoever. So anytime something takes place around the 1940s, especially when we're in Britain, I go, ooh, this is going to be World War II.
Because they do that quite a lot. There's been quite a few World War II stories.
Oh, yeah. Also, another one of my favorite movies, although, it is, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. Fucking love that shit. Again, It's World War II. It's misty. It's mystical, magical, timey-wimey.
I wonder how many more stories we need for the Doctor to be present at every day of World War II, just in doing a different story.
There's got to be a day during World War II where he's just doing his laundry.
There's a day in World War II where there's three different doctors doing different shenanigans. But yeah, overall, I mean, I really enjoy it. I do also think that like a lot of the setup for the story feels a little contrite in the sense that it feels like.
I know what contrite is, but just in case any of our listeners at home don't know, what can you elaborate more on that? Please?
It feels like they didn't have like a story to get the people in the places they wanted them to be. So things just kind of happen. I give you more. Let me get the actual definition of contrite.
Yeah,
here.
Because I know exactly what that is. I got my BA in English.
No, you didn't.
And grammar.
Your BA was in theater.
Anyways, but just in case anybody at home
not
doesn't
contrite,
know what you're
just
saying.
Trite. Sorry, not contrite. Contrived. That's what I mean. Contrived. Jesus Christ.
Trite and contrived.
Yeah, I'm blending
okay,
two words
cool.
together.
Thank you. I absolutely knew what you meant, yeah. But thank you for clarifying for our listeners
yeah,
at home.
Contrived means deliberately created as opposed to occurring naturally. So basically it means that the particular mechanics of like how we get the kids onto this other planet where all the other plot can happen felt a little like we don't know how to get the kids onto the TARDIS. And so we're just going to have a box.
We're just going to give them a portal present.
Yeah, we're going to give them a secret passage. Not in the bedroom, in the sitting room.
You ass.
I do think that they did a decent job at least trying to come up with a way to make it feel a little bit better. Mainly in that the entire like opening chunk of them at that new house is the Doctor revealing how little he understands about human culture.
Oh, don't even get me started about his Mr. Magorium-esque quality. Excuse me. Of him running around saying, oh, I fixed it. Look what I've done over here. Look what I've done over here.
The door's developed a fault. That's why I had to take it off its hinges.
Oh, the stairs stopped working. Guess we have to walk up them. Like, I know that's not how he said it, but that's how I heard it.
Would you like to hand me your thoot, Kathith? Great. Now, could you carry them while you follow me?
Yeah, like that's how it was very, very like Mr. Magorium, Manic Pixie Dream Doctor.
with his bumper car chairs that are like zooming around the sitting room because it didn't have a TV in it. He added a tap for lemonade.
That I can absolutely agree with. I would
hot, cold and lemonade.
Oh, my God. I would love if we had a tap for lemonade. It would ferment so fast. I don't care.
Just a crystal light pipe.
Oh, my God. I not rediscovered. I was able to re-experience Fresca. Soda water. Mm-hmm. That is literally called soda water. And then on the can, it says, like, there's not enough sugar in this to even label how much sugar is in it. Do you want me to go, I'm being healthy. If I could have a Fresca pipe. Ooh. Or squirt. A squirt pipe.
I don't know that I like the term squirt pipe.
What are you talking about?
That sounds like, you know those water
it's
guns?
It's better
that
than the hot cocoa pipe.
You know those water guns that are just like a tube that you just like pump and water sprays
oh,
out of?
Oh, those are my favorite ones.
That
they
sounds
never
like a
break.
Squirt pipe.
Yeah, those ones never, ever break. Those are my favorite means of assaulting your friends with water. Which could be a very convenient segue into the ending of the episode.
Yeah, he shows the kids the bedroom. And I remember you would ask me like before the episode started, like, which one was it then if it wasn't? Because I tell you up front how many points you get.
That's because I'm nosy and I'm not patient.
I also feel like it doesn't spoil the episode for you if you when you find out you're wrong at the point if I tell you at the beginning. So it seems like it has improved your experience watching the show when I give it to you up front.
Well, because then I'm not excited.
Yeah.
To be wrong.
But I did tell you that you were incorrect and you would ask which one, and I said I think the reveal will be better. And then he pulls a lever and two hammocks just descend from the ceiling.
And that was my exact reaction was. How can I cheese it?
You see, when
I did really love the kid's bedroom, though. That was fun as hell. Yeah,
it was, it was his masterpiece, as he called it. So I like that they seem to be setting up the whole thing about like
the doctor is whimsical.
The doctor's whimsical, but moreover, he doesn't understand humans. Like it's the way that he.
I think he thinks he understands people. And humans better than he understands the like topical layer. He doesn't actually understand.
He understands humans in the same way that like ChatGPT understands humans.
Yes.
Which is like he's been fed an algorithm of humans.
Oh, the doctor is Gemini. Absolutely.
But he's got like the words in the wrong order or like the emphasis is in the wrong place. The one place he does seem to get, though, is children. He seems to understand children quite well.
Yeah, we've established he speaketh the language of the babies.
He speaketh the baby. The bambino. He speaketh the bambino. But he doesn't really seem to like understand adults or most of society. That's why
he doesn't speak adult.
Yeah, he still does the two cheek kiss for a lot of the adults that he runs across because he thinks that's how humans greet each other. So there's a part of it's like, okay, I understand that we can get to this idea that he's not thinking about. The not opening of the Christmas presents.
He's not thinking about the consequences of his own actions.
Yeah. Except for the fact that he does understand children. So the one thing he should understand is that that kid is going to open his present.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that the way he tries to get them to stay away from the TARDIS is by warning them that his room has panthers in it. They crank Matt Smith's like antic energy up to 11.
I really like that. It feels in the same vein as like when you're kind of fucking with kids.
Yeah.
And telling them stuff like,
so
today at work, I saved this story for this. I got two kids to start arguing about aliens. Because me and my other girly pop were just egging them on after a while. It was so good because we were like, we're painting the night sky as we usually do. Like, yeah, you like you can put anything in there. You can add stars. Like, I'm adding all these swirly sort of. I made mine look very Van Gogh.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, you can add stars if you want. You can do like, you know, different planets, alien spaceships. And then one kid goes, aliens are real. And then one girl went, yeah, they are. I went, no, they're not. And then my coworker goes, well, that's not a very nice thing to say. He goes, but they're not real. She goes, they very well could be. And I went, yeah, you don't know if there's an alien in this room right now. And she goes, I could be an alien. And then the little girl goes, yeah, she could be an alien. You hurt her feelings. And then she went, yeah, you hurt my feelings because I'm an alien. He went, no, you're not. And then that went on for like 10 minutes. It was great. So fuck with kids.
Yeah, I think I might have told you this story before. I once convinced a small child that I ride dragons. I was sitting on a plane next to this little girl who was like, she had to do her homework before she could watch How to Train Your Dragon because apparently that was her favorite movie.
You know what, though? Fair.
Yeah. Like, I think she was like second grade or something at the time.
Okay.
At the time, I was still.
So like 7 or 8.
Yeah. And I was like 18, 19. I was still in college in Oklahoma to learn how to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Before I decided that wasn't what I wanted to do. But at the time, I was like, oh, this is like an opportunity. I can like help her with her homework.
What a young man thought to have.
Yeah. Or I was like, oh, I get to like get a little.
Real life opportunity.
Yeah. And so
I fix my fake glasses.
And so she knows
I'm smart.
So as we're talking, I learned some things about her. I remember I'm helping her with her homework and she offhandedly mentions that she rides horses. And so as she's watching the movie, she's like, I really like this part. I was like, you know, I ride dragons. She's like, no, you don't. He was like, why don't you know that? He's like, you would have told me. I was like, I didn't know you rode horses until you told me. And she went,
Oh yeah!
It's just such like child logic.
That's so good.
And it's one of my favorite stories ever. It's just the look on her face of, oh yeah!
Can I tell another story of fucking with kids? So I used to babysit, and I would only ever see these girls at night.
Are we calling this segment on the show fucking with kids?
Yeah. So I would only ever see these girls at night. And they were like, they're just like minding their own business. They're watching Adventure Time or something. And it's tangentially related. And I was like, oh, I love the show. I think my favorite character is Marceline. They went, she's scary. I don't like her. And I was like, why don't you like her? She's a vampire. I was like, well, that's a mean thing to say to a vampire. And they went, you're not a vampire. And I went, you've never seen me at the daytime because I can't go outside. The sun hurts my skin. They went, well, if you're a vampire, you would have sucked our blood now. I went, I eat before I come here.
I'm not hungry.
Yeah. And they were like, huh.
I can't argue with that.
Yep. Oh, my God. I'm so excited for our friends to start having children so they can get to the age, because in that amount of time, I will become smarter.
And they don't even realize that you lied to them until they're like 23. And they're like, oh my wait God. A second, Aunt Cassie's not a vampire.
Oh, my God. The way that I
don't know
always,
why 23-year-olds sound that way, but.
Hey, you never know. So there is a part of me that genuinely does like this episode for that reason. It does play with that like childlike sense of wonder. You know, the doctor makes these kids this beautiful bedroom full of toys and, you know, is just making them the happiest they could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's a scary, stressful time, he's doing what he thinks is correct by providing them with this wonderland inside of the house. Also, something else that I didn't realize I liked until the very end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that they referred to the doctor as the caretaker the whole time.
Yeah.
There was something about that or I was like, that's not his name, but he settles into it.
Yeah.
And it's just really kind of heartwarming and sweet because in that moment or like, to this family, like he's not the doctor.
The doctor.
He's not the doctor.
He's not the doctor.
He's not the doctor. Not the doctor. He's the caretaker.
I do like that the way he describes it is like, yeah, I'm taking care of things. I'm the caretaker. And then Match goes, that's not what caretakers do. And he goes, then why are they called caretakers? And Match has no response to that.
It's in the same vein as fucking with kids.
One of my favorite things that it took me a while to like come around on, I didn't like it and now I love it, is that he tells Madge when Madge needs help just to make a wish,
yeah,
and he'll be there. They never actually do any sort of indication as to why the doctor knows that someone has made a wish, Madge or otherwise. He just does. And there's a part where it's like, in the logic of the show, I get that can't be, because they don't really, because obviously the TARDIS doesn't grant wishes, but also it's Christmas, who cares?
Yeah, and you can't tell me that the TARDIS isn't just a large, like, genie's lamp. You can't tell me that the doctor isn't part Din.
It's just the doctor is Robin Williams' genie from Aladdin.
Yeah. God, Robin Williams would have been such an erratic, very
dressed
good
exactly
doctor.
Like Mork from Ork.
Oh, my God. No, but, like, I know we have an ongoing like game and like discussion in our household of
mm-hmm.
what other actor, dead or alive, would you have liked to have seen play the doctor?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of mine now is Robin Williams.
Yeah, he would have been a lot of fun for
just
sure.
Just because it would have been a lot of fun to watch him be silly,
mm-hmm.
but also have those moments of like sincerity and like
yeah.
real drama.
Mm-hmm. I think he would have been a lot like Matt Smith, just with more voices. It'd be weird to hear the doctor. It would be weird to hear the doctor do a Nixon impression to Nixon.
I don't know what you're talking about. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I do feel like there's the middle is the weakest of the episode for sure. But I also feel like I like the beginning and the end so much. I kind of don't care, if that makes sense.
I mean, it's such a hard it's a hard comparison when the last Christmas special was so good. I'm still thinking about it.
Yes.
And it is impactful in a way. Even the silly things in that I can so easily forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Because like flying fish, sky shark, like that's stupid, but I'll allow it.
Yeah.
To have the spirits of the forest ascending above the trees as if they were stars atop a Christmas tree.
To board the mothership.
To board spaceship Earth and enter the mind of a small human woman.
who they can board because she's a mother.
Yeah. Are you fucking with me?
Did you not pick up on that?
No.
Yeah,
I thought it was because like they had said that the doctor too weak.
Yeah, they had said the boy was too weak. They had said Cyril was too weak. The doctor was also weak. And then the girl was strong but young. So they needed a grown woman.
Yeah, I knew.
Not just a woman. She's mom, is what the doctor says.
I gathered that it was like, oh, you need like a full grown like woman.
Yeah, no, I think they needed a mom because she's already had experience having another life inside her.
Okay, I've circled back around to hating this episode.
That's why he said the mothership.
I thought he was just doing a pun. I'm just so angry again.
I do like the line that she says, we're like, I feel very nice, though. One minute you can't imagine being a forest, and the next you can. Like, she does a very good job of playing, like, almost loopy. Like,
was she gonna say affable? Is that the word?
Yeah, or almost high. Like, she sounds like she's high. Like, she's been huffing a different kind of tree. She's somewhere lost in her mind of in the forest that lives inside of her right now. There's a lot of things where I'm like, I also don't know what I would change. Like, that's the other thing where I'm like, I don't know how I would, if whatever problem I have, I don't know how I would fix that.
The way that I feel about this episode is the way that I feel about some paintings that I do mm-hmm. at work. Because there are some paintings I do where I'm so proud of them. I think they're beautiful. Just, I cannot wait to send a picture of it to my mom and have her say, that's so lovely. Like, there are some like that. And then there are some where I just have to cut my losses and say, I'm done. This does not look the way that I wanted it to. I'm fucking done. And this, because it gets to a point where in that 2-hour time frame, you don't have extra time to fuck around and like work it until it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel the same way about this episode, where there is simply not enough time to work it until it's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like they had a really strong beginning, a very like, again, you're starting right in the middle of the action. That's like, that's good writing 101.
Mm-hmm.
Is you can start right in the middle of the action and you're guaranteed to get people to go, oh, okay, good. And I really love the ending. I love that we have this moment between the doctor and Amy where she's mad at him for being gone for 2 years. And
for disappearing for years again.
Yeah, for disappearing for 2 years. And Rory comes back and invites the doctor in for dinner, and doctor explains that you already have a place set for me, and they reveal, yeah, every day, which is,
you perceive that as every day. I perceive that as every Christmas.
Well,
I was just thinking about it. Like, I hadn't considered it that way.
But in that moment, then the doctor takes a second to himself to turn around, look back at his TARDIS. It's framed beautifully because you see the TARDIS and you see the TARDIS blue door as mm-hmm. well. And he cries like a genuine human emotion.
Well, that I like that a lot because they set that up really well. That's the payoff to, like, they set it up twice where at one point he's talking to the daughter and she talks about something being so beautiful. She's crying. And the doctor goes, crying because you're happy. That's so human. And then later when the family's all together again, the family is like crying and he goes, happy crying.
Happy crying.
Humany woomany.
Not
like me. And then cut to him at Amy and Rory's house and he does a happy tear. and because it's also one of those first times where I sit here and I think about it. this is the first Christmas we've ever seen the Doctor gets to spend it with with people. And I don't, and obviously he spent a lot of Christmases with
you could just call him Scrooge.
with not Scrooge, with Michael Gambon Jr. In the previous one where he showed up every Christmas, but it was always like, we're going on some adventure, we're going through a trip in time, I'm gonna go get married to Marilyn Monroe, those sorts of things. This is the first one where he is sitting down for Christmas dinner.
He's having a classic Christmas.
Yeah, because he spent our first Christmas special, he spent unconscious.
Zach, he got woken up by tea, don't you recall?
He spent the second Christmas special fighting a giant spider woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the third Christmas special he spent on the Titanic, the space Titanic. And his fourth Christmas special, he died. Then the fifth one, as we saw last season with Michael Gambon, was spent not really sitting down to like have family Christmas. He was doing all these things. So this is the first time the Doctor is spending Christmas with friends.
It's kind of like when you've worked every day for like 2 weeks and then you have a whole evening off. Mm-hmm. You get all your work done early in the day and then you just have the evening.
Or if you like haven't seen a friend in a long time, but talking to them, it's like it's basically like you never stopped talking with them. It's like a certain level of just like joy that comes with it. Like we had joked a couple episodes ago about millennial friendships are the ones that you can only see each other every 6 months. Well, apparently that's what the Doctor and Amy have. They see each other once every 2 years.
They're millennials. They're fine.
Yeah, I'm fond of this episode. I am definitely a bigger fan of the previous season. I think the previous season is my favorite Christmas special.
Yeah.
But I also think I like this one more than I like any of Tenet's. For better, I mean, not to say that any of them are necessarily like bad, but I feel like
it's gonna filter into the same thing.
You're not gonna remember it like you remember the other ones.
No, it could also just be that because I was so excited for it to be a Lion, a Witch, and a Wardrobe, like, and
pastiche.
I was really gearing up for that.
You're just sad that Mr. Tumnus wasn't in it,
or Tilda Swinton.
James McAvoy, Mr. Tumnus.
And Deep Roy. He wasn't in it either. Or Liam Neeson, Lion.
Lion Neeson.
Anyways, I was really kind of hoping for that sort of like, let's see if we can truncate The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Into 45 minutes.
So I was like, this will be interesting. And it wasn't.
You were hoping it was going to be closer to a pastiche in the same way that like last season's was for A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
I can understand that.
Yes. Especially because The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is one of my favorite stories of all time. Because in preparation to see the movie, read the book, but I didn't read the book. I got it on tape because I'm old. Listened to it in one day, just yum 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 yum, ate that up, saw the movie, absolutely fell in love, and then was sorely disappointed for every movie to come out after it because it was not as good as the first. But that's how I deliver hot takes without people getting mad at me. So I was really hoping that I was going to get that from this, and I simply didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where my saltiness lies, is this just felt like another Doctor Who story.
Yeah, the title set it up higher for you than it was prepared to hit. I think that's a fair
feeling. It was a little cheeky, but it feels the same way. Like, that's kind of like if the movie Ratatouille was just about a mom living in the countryside with her with her boy, and they casually have Ratatouille like on the stove. Where I'm like, okay, I thought this was going to be a movie about cooking and about a rat, not about a sad country boy and his desperate and his mother.
And his peasant dish.
Ah!
No, I think that's, I feel like that's a fair, we tell people not to judge a book by its cover, but that's literally what a cover is for, is to judge the book.
Like, don't judge a book by its cover, but also if I see it's my favorite thing now. There is like a theme going on in the book world with like romanticy where they all have the same font. They all use the same colors. So I know exactly what to expect when I pick up a book and it has that like sort of gothic, a little elvish, like type font, and the everything is either in red, purple, royal blue, silver, black. I know exactly what that story is. Everybody who just heard me conjured up their own image of exactly the book I'm talking about. Pick your fucking favorite, babes. But my point is, I think I'm disappointed overall that the title of the episode did not give me the story that I was expecting.
That's
it's
fair.
Still a sweet story, and I'm not sitting here being like, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
But I'm also sitting here going, well, I'm never going to get my Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe story then from Doctor Who.
No, I think that's absolutely fair.
I do wonder if perhaps the Lewis estate, or at this point Disney, said, you can't do that.
I think it's just the Lewis estate. I believe the Lewis estate owns those rights still. Disney just distributed the movie. Like, it wasn't even produced by Disney. They just distributed it outside of the UK. Mm. Yeah, I will say I still have a soft spot for the episode, as evidenced by the fact that I was absolutely bawling by the end of it.
Oh, yeah, I know. I could feel it in the couch.
Also, thinking about it in the writing aspect, I do appreciate there's a lot of like callbacks that help the script feel very like thought through, like the part where Madge is like trying to drive the Doctor around to find the TARDIS, but then later she's piloting the big like three-legged machine, and the Doctor's like, I recognize that machine, actually I think I recognize the driving. I like that quite a bit.
I do like her referring to him as her backward spaceman.
Yeah, I also really like, there was one call back to Eccleston. I don't know if you caught it. Mm-hmm. When he's talking about describing the forest, Lily is asking like, well, I don't understand. How can a forest be alive or something like that? And he's like, well, I met the forest of Cheem once. She fancied me.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah.
That might have been when I was resting my eyeballs.
Well, overall, we're split on it, but I feel like we're split in a pretty close way. Like, I know that you didn't much care for it, but I think most of where you didn't care for it,
like,
was
I'm
the expectation
gonna
was so
I'm not
going to
be sitting here saying, like, it's my new enemy episode. Like, no, I think it was fine.
It was set up on a pedestal that was too high for it to reach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was set up on a pedestal that a cat named Doctor Who came and knocked it over.
Well, we'll see how we feel about next season, because next season starts with something that a season has never started with before. Next season will be our first Dalek opener.
You should have let that be a surprise for me.
Well, there's not much of a surprise to it. The name of the next episode is Asylum of the Daleks. Yes, next season we open with Asylum of the Daleks, and we also get to meet my favorite companion for Modern Who. So I'm excited for you to
My boys. They will return.
And they will return on the next episode of Who is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
I guess the Daleks are your doctor.
No, I've just been really practicing my Dalek impression. I think I'm getting better.
I think it is fine too. Impersonate.
There we go. Thank you. Good night.
How many times do I have to tell you to make sure you are subscribed to this podcast? Just do it. Do it now. And if you haven't already, please give us a thumbs up or 5 stars or whatever the algorithm demands, in the hopes that other Whovians will find us out there. If you'd really like to support us, you can find us over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. Special thanks to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, and Travis Aiken. We'll see you all next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.